Now, walking. Never trust a thought you haven't had outdoors. I forget who said that, actually. I think it may have been Mark Twain. I do know that Nietzsche said all truly great thoughts are conceived while walking. And I know this because there's a documentary about his life on Netflix. The greatness of walking, we discussed this last year as well, but this is new. What if you can walk out the door with a puzzle in your head or a creative shortfall and get answers by putting one foot in front of the other? Charles Dickens was a very serious walker. Sigmund Freud used to analyse on foot. Dr. Marilee Opetso is a behavioural scientist at Stanford University. She's an instructor of medicine at its Disease Prevention Research Centre. Walking is great for us neurologically and cardiovascularly, this we know, but what if you can use walking to get better ideas and to problem solve? Dr. Marilee Opetso, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, we don't need to be sold on walking, you know, that's common sense, but we may need to be sold on its role in creativity. Now, you ran four interesting studies. Can you tell us about them?
Yes, actually. The first one, we just had people either sitting inside or walking outside. Everybody was comparing their own performance to their own performance. So you either sat twice or you sat and then walked outside, or you were walking outside and then you came indoors and sat, or you walked outside twice. In another study that we had, when people were contrasting to sitting, they were either sitting and then walking on a treadmill inside in a windowless room. And finally, we had a contrast where you were either walking outside or being pushed on a wheelchair through the same path outside. And that was to control for seeing different things in the world. So we imagined there's something about walking outside. You might be able to see a bird and that would stimulate an idea. So to control for that and to isolate the effect of moving yourself through the world, we pushed somebody through the world on a wheelchair.
Okay, so you've got people sitting and thinking, doing not much. You've got people walking on a treadmill. You've got people walking outside, and you've got people being exposed to the great outdoors in case that is per se inspirational. That's essentially it.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. We used two different tests of creativity as well throughout the four studies. Most of them did this test called alternate uses, where you come up with as many different ways as possible to use a common everyday object. And another one was a test of analogies. So coming up with analogies, which is kind of closer to what we think of when we think of creativity.
I've come to terms with using the word creativity, although I've never liked it because it seems to leave out the cleverness and the ingenuity of plumbers and truck drivers and nurses. I mean, we don't call lawyers and accountants creative unless they've swindled large sums of money. But so many people are wonderfully creative. So creative is what, please, Marilee?
Yeah, so I think everybody has the potential to be creative, actually. And the way we defined it, you know, there's some people that don't think that you can define it. It's just, you know, oh, it's something you feel. But we had to come up with something. So we defined our little C creativity as appropriate novelty. So, you know, appropriate means it's sort of relevant. So if I added gasoline to a soup, that's creative, but it's not appropriate. So that wouldn't count as creative. But also novelty, which means that nobody else said it. So that's how we defined creativity.
Right. So you ask me to come up with a new idea for a medieval world, a fictitious one, and I say Game of Thrones. That's not novel. But if I think of something else that nobody else has ever said, then that's creative. That's novel.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Although, you know, you could have your own twist on Game of Thrones and that would be creative.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah. And so, for example, do you want to try one?
Yeah. Please do.
All right, cool. So come up with, just for the next 10 seconds, as many different ways you can think of for using a shoe other than as footwear.
Okay. You can put a plant in a shoe and fill it with dirt, grow something. You can invent a shoe-throwing contest. You can, I've run out already, although I'm conscious of the 10-second time limit, which I find oppressive. How about those two?
That was great. That was 2 in 10 seconds is a lot, actually. So good for you. As a planter would be appropriate, but most people said that.
Yeah.
But nobody said to invent a shoe throwing contest. So there you go. In 10 seconds, you had a new idea.
I'm not a genius. You know why I said that? Because in New Zealand, we have a thing called a gumboot throwing contest.
No way.
Yeah. So gumboots, I don't know if you have them in America, but they're big shoes you wear in the rain. And that exists here. So that was easy for me.
Oh, that's hilarious. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So maybe if I did the study in New Zealand, then that wouldn't have counted as creative. But here, that's mind-blowing. That's like, wow, that's great.
This man's a genius. All right. So that gives us an idea. And people started thinking of things that were creative and novel. You found that a person's creative output increases by an average of 60% while they are walking. What is it about walking? Especially, there's a funny line in a TED talk that you give when people ask you about thoughts had while running, and you say, my only thought while running is when do I stop running? So, which I thought was very funny. So what is it about walking? What is it about walking per se?
Yeah, so walking is a natural physical process that we can do without a lot of attention, right? Most of us can just do it without thinking, and it doesn't take a lot of focus away, but it does kind of arouse your body in a certain way. There's lots of different theories why walking might influence cognition. It's interesting. I mean, there's a couple of theories about embodied cognition where, like, for example, we are better at generating and remembering, I think, positive words when we push something, but when we pull something, we're better at remembering negative words. I could have gotten that backwards, but wow. Our bodies are kind of aligned with our thoughts. There's another line of thought that thinks, well, walking is sort of exploratory. It's a behavior where we want to pick up new things, you know, evolutionarily. We want to notice new things in our space. And so that might predispose us to kind of being more open to noticing the environment. And then even more, there's work on aerobic exercise. In depressives especially, where you're kind of more likely to have a lot of brain activity in an area that's focused on kind of ruminative thinking or thinking things over and over again. But exercise sort of shuttles blood away from that area, mostly because you're moving and you're like, well, I got to deal with this whole thing of my whole entire body has to land and balance and then take another step. Wow, lots to think about. No time to really think about this. The okay. cool thing is that you could also think while you're doing it with walking. So,
hence your dislike of running. And look, I'll come back to the depression amelioration aspect. We're caught talking with Dr. Marilee Opetso. If people, though, like who famously extolled the virtues of walking, like Mark Twain and Thoreau and Nietzsche, it's the outdoors that inspires the walking brain. But you reckon not. You reckon we can get this effect at the gym on the treadmill.
Yeah, you know, I was really surprised, a little depressed by the finding that, you know, you didn't have to be outdoors at a babbling brook, because I would love to say, you know, there's actually a lot of good research that shows that walking outdoors is restorative. It's got strong emotional benefits and other, you know, things that are very good and peaceful about walking outside. I think for this particular activity, it seems to be that the walking itself is what is driving the effect here.
Steve Jobs was known for his walking meetings. Mark Zuckerberg's been seen holding meetings on foot. Would your research, Marilee, suggest this is where they were getting their good thinking done, by simply doing that?
Yeah, I think you're right that Steve Jobs and others have thought and noticed the benefits of walking meetings and walking while thinking. I think it's not a new idea. Lots of great thinkers before us have thought of this, like Socrates and the Peripatetics with Aristotle. But it does seem to be that when you want to come up with a new, fresh perspective on something, this is the type of process that really benefits from moving around. So if I'm having a walking brainstorming session with myself, I could probably come up with much better ideas than if I were sitting. But what about when you're walking with somebody else? Like, how does the dynamic change? What happens when you're walking together? Do you have more of the same shared ideas because you're on the shared path? Maybe it's better for something like negotiation.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Look, I'm a believer, but I've always assumed that exercise plus the great outdoors, that combination, you know, lifts the spirits and frees the soul or whatever, but that it's a bit kind of ineffable. Now, you're saying it's specific and quantifiable. Think of something you need the walking brain to tackle, and presto, it will try and do it. Have I got that right?
Wait, can you say that again, the first part, like what your first part of the question was?
Yes. Yeah. Say you've said, listen, I need you to invent a new competition, and I need you to go for a walk and dream one up. So I go for a walk and I dream up a competition where you throw a shoe across a field. And you see, that is what I understand your research has concluded, that you will set me a task, and in order to solve a problem or come up with a new idea, I will go for a walk.
Yeah, and I think you think about it while you're walking. That's the point. So this isn't the shower effect, you know, where you go in the shower and you all of a sudden have this great new idea. I think that also is true, but I think it's a different mechanism. And something about recording the responses was cool too, because people just spoke them aloud. They didn't write them down. I think writing is already filtering yourself. So the point was there was no filter. You just said it as it came. And then, you know, maybe record yourself while you're walking, and then you can get more ideas. The point is, come up with as many as you can. Don't judge them while you're coming up with them.
Gotcha.
And do it while you're walking. Or, as we found, interestingly, a little bit of an after effect after walking as well. But I don't think it's – as much as I love the walking meditations, and I think that those have their value, if you're specifically trying to use walking for brainstorming, the work that we did shows that it benefits by doing it concomitantly. So like walking while thinking,
gotcha.
As opposed to walking and then, you know, walking and listening to an amazing podcast and then coming back. I think the benefit is walking while thinking and using sort of the walking time instead of to zone out and listen to maybe an awesome radio show like yours. You walk while generating ideas.
The other assumption, just to clear this up, the other assumption I think many of us have made about walking is that it's the idle mind, the vacant mind, that finds room for inspiration, not being on the march and, you know, doggedly waiting for specific input and recording it. But you're saying, in fact, we may have had the wrong end of the stick here.
I think there's a couple ends of the stick that will fly. I think the shower effect and the idea of getting space is also researched, and I think that's sort of the, you know, aha moments type of thing, and that kind of comes out of being a little bit relaxed or in the shower. I think this one is more to deliberately try to get a different perspective, and maybe part of it is the generation of many different ideas to bump into that one where you think about it.
Yeah.
So I actually think of it as writing. So I have a terrible time with writing papers. And oftentimes I write an introduction and I'm so in love with it. I was like, this is how I'm going to frame this paper. And I actually go out and walk and try to come up with like three different other framings for the paper. And I force myself to be like, no, what's another way in? And I find that that's really helpful. And it rips me out of the context, which is staring at my computer and the same thing that I've already typed. So there's that part of it. But I'm also forcing myself to generate more than one idea that I'm married to. And maybe walking helps me be a little bit less married.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I was going to ask you that you'd presumably put it to the test yourself, and you've just given an example, you and your colleagues. Have you had other results, interesting sounding results reported to you from other people in your lab or people, you know, whoever you've talked to about this?
Yeah, actually, well, a lot of anecdotal support. People actually do say that they get their best ideas while running, and good for them. They're in that good of shape. so we actually deliberately had people walk at the pace that they found their natural gait, because work shows that if you force people to go at an unnatural gait, it'll take too much focus away. So you will actually do worse. So we were like, hey, walk whatever's good for you. We ran a study on, I'm actually just writing this up, on walking and negotiation. And we found that walking was really helpful for sort of interpersonal interaction. And maybe that's because you were more open to different perspectives and ideas from another person. So I don't know if it makes you more open-minded. Some people have called to say playing music is another way of doing this. They found like creativity and music. So if I can imagine this being true, if I'm a really good harmonica player, right? Maybe I'm playing the harmonica and it's so natural to me, just almost like walking. And it's just something to take a little bit of the focus away. And then I'm able to come up with better ideas. I think part of it is like this soft focus. It just takes just a little bit of focus away, and maybe that's enough to stop the inner critic from coming up with different ideas.
Okay.
Flattens the hierarchy.
That gives us a good insight. Okay. So you use the phrase aha moment. It's those light bulb moments. It's Kanye West deciding to run for president rather than Kanye West trying to come up with the entire concept album storyline on his way to the shops and back.
Yeah, I think if he's like generating ideas of what to do today and running for president, I would guess that would come on a walk. I think when he's throwing it all the way to the end of the album, he's got to sit down and do some work. So, yeah, and interesting you bring that up, because the first study we contrasted with this more focused thinking, and people were not good when they were walking at the focused thinking. You're better when you're sitting. I imagine from Soup to Nuts, his album, you got to put a lot of sitting effort into that. But running for president, that was definitely a novel idea.
Actually, Nietzsche, who talked up the whole idea of walking, he used to walk around Switzerland. You know, he thought of his notion of eternal recurrence while walking past a specific rock one day. And he may have had the bright idea, but then he had to come up and he had to come inside and write it all up the way you'd have to do with your studies. So that's a perfect example.
Yeah. Wow. That is a cool story.
So, Creative Walking 101, according to Dr. Marilee Opetso, walk us through it, if you wouldn't mind. You start off how, and because there are things to think about in terms of strategy. So you start off, you pick a problem or a topic, first of all.
Yeah, something you're stuck on. I think definitely having some constraints is important. I think creativity has shown that if you're just like, hey, be creative, then people are like, I don't know what to do. But if you're like, be creative, come up with a, you know, cool designs with circles, right? Then people can be like, okay, cool design circles, got it. So you need to have some sort of parameters. And then I would say either walk inside or outside, but record your responses, because I think you want to remember them, and not all of them are going to be rock stars, right? But the point is to come up with as many different as you can. Really try to brainstorm. Don't judge, just come up with new ideas.
Yeah, gotcha. Walk at a comfortable pace, come up with a lot of ideas, record them. And what about a time constraint? Do you give yourself a time limit?
Yeah, I mean, we only see it here for as long as 16 minutes, right? So, and I can imagine at a certain point, you run out. So we don't know if it goes beyond that, but I definitely wouldn't be doing this for very long. I mean, maybe you spend half of the walk if you want an hour, you know, half of the walk coming up with ideas and then the other half chilling out and being meditative. But I definitely think that you want to put a cap on it. Maybe 5-10 minutes is enough.
Okay. And there's a residual effect thereafter as well. For how long?
Well, we only tested 8 minutes, so that's all we can find. But it was surprising. They did better than had they never sat at all. They didn't do as well as they did while walking, but they did better than had they never walked. So if you got to do it before a Zoom meeting, you know, go out, brainstorm, and then come back in, and then you'll still have some new ideas to share in the meeting, according to what we found.
Okay, so instead of sitting down waiting for the job interview to be let into the room, just say, listen, I'm just nipping out for 2 minutes. Go walk up and down the corridor.
Yeah, maybe come up with a new way to frame yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I suppose we can use these powers for evil. You know, if you're running late for work and you need to come up with a creative excuse about why you're running late for work, it's a good idea if you're walking to work.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's fantastic. Yes. Yeah, something other than the dog ate my homework, right?
A while back, we interviewed the neuroscientist Shane O'Mara, who has written in praise of walking. He's Irish, and he advocates it to combat depression, just to get back to that, not so much anxiety. But anyway, he said that brain waves, literal theta waves, pop up in movement analysis, you know, and it assists learning and agreeableness and memory. And you would agree with all of that, basically, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the theories, we were talking with some neuroscientists, we can't really run the walking MRI study yet, right, that you want to run, because the MRI scanner isn't portable. But they do think that it is, especially in depressives where there might be extra ruminative thinking, and exercise definitely decreases that while you're doing it.
Just generally, you know, because we all hear about the virtue of 10 or 12,000 steps a day. Because people like you and me, I don't mean you personally, but we in our jobs only tend to walk about 3,000 steps a day. Are you conscious of the need for a volume of walking in your life as well, Marilee?
Yeah, actually, not so much a volume, but a frequency. It's not so much just like a 10,000 step marker, but it's actually getting it throughout the day. And so I think finding ways to build walking into your workday with not even not hurting productivity, but enhancing it, would be golden, just not only for your work, but also for your health.
You know, it'll be fascinating. That's good advice. Thank you. It would be fascinating, just finally, to go back through all the really bright, instant bright ideas in history, aside from Archimedes and the bath, and find out exactly where those good ideas were dreamed of. We know about Archimedes, we know about Newton, but there are a whole lot of other people who've had fantastic brainwaves, and it'd be so cool to realize that a lot of them have been while walking.
Wow, that would be just the golden study. I would love that. Some historical rendition. I'm sure there's some way to get at that. That's fantastic. I bet you it's true. I mean, most of these major thinkers, if you look up walking quotes, you really get into, you know, Kafka, Darwin, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. They're all walkers. And Steve Jobs. Here we go. So, yeah, that's great.
Well, that's a fascinating study, and very nice to have you on talking about it. I really appreciate your time, too.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if I answered correctly or shortly enough, but I really enjoyed talking with you.
And all the best for the next. So what are you going to study next?
I'm actually looking at fidgeting and kids in the classroom, and I was doing so until COVID hit and the class shut down. So looking at how letting kids move around, you know, facilitates creative thinking.
Ah, that will be interesting too.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, that's the next time we'll interview. All right, lovely. Yeah. Thank you, Marilee, and all the best.
Thanks so much, Jim. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Dr. Marilee Apetso.